I have a couple side issues before we go into the lesson. The first side issue is, don't miss calling in the lost tonight. Don't miss calling in the lost tonight. For those of you who have never attended, it would be good to begin a new year's resolution the middle of January and come and attend at least one at the beginning, but don't miss it. And Gary's sitting over there saying, I wonder what he's talking about. This is all family. Gary has a calling in the lost tonight, just so you know. Okay. The second thing that I want to remind everybody about is that in one of the services prior to 2016 that Gary was having, he mentioned the fact and a statement and an instruction, and hopefully we will all receive it as a command. But in Gary's gentle way of saying things, it may come across like, oh, okay. And then we forget the okay. He stressed the importance of each one of us to read John 14 through John 17 and to read it frequently and to meditate upon it. However you take Scripture and take it from your mind and put it into your heart, that's what you have to do with those chapters. I believe that I receive it as a command for the year 2016. We have wonderful words that have come forth, present day speaking. You all have copies of those, or they're available almost everywhere except in your hands if you don't have one. They're out on the internet, etc., etc. That instruction from the Holy Spirit about John 14 through 17 is not part of those. It didn't necessarily come forth as a prophecy or as a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. It was all of that, but it just wasn't presented in such a way that I felt as though the Lord wanted us to remind everybody, including myself. The third thing that came forth this week that is also not going to be out there was an instruction that someone gave me. The individual that gave it to me said, Tim, I'm going to put a paraphrase in my way of saying it. Tim, you must be very sure, I mean very, very sure, in this season that you do not create an Ishmael. You know the story. You know that God blessed Ishmael with Hagar, gave her the name, on and on and on. But you also know the difficulty that the Ishmaels created in not only Abraham's life, but still to this day. So if you want to write down something that you meditate on, or New Year's resolution number 2 or 3 is, Father, help me, please help me not to get ahead of you, not begin to try to do what the Holy Spirit has been called to do. I've only been called to labor with him and co-labor. I'm not to create any Ishmaels. I'm not to create anything that's my will. We've been eloquently taught all that, scripture after scripture. But evidently, for this family, for this body, evidently, we've entered into a season that it's going to be much easier to create Ishmaels than it has in the past. Because he's never warned us of that before. He's never mentioned it in a single word that has come forth. But evidently, the Holy Spirit being very laser focused, that he's saying in each one of our lives, there's a possibility that we move from the narrow path, as I believe Nathan discussed, stay on the path, stay on the path. We have that. What we don't want is to step off of the path that he's put us and create an Ishmael, because it will create an extended length of time that the Father's not going to be able to give you his perfect will for your life. Okay, that's the opening remarks. Let's go to the handout, please. Have boundless hope in me. First of all, this instruction came to Gary Carpenter some years back. It didn't originate with me. It originated with the Holy Spirit, and he chose to use Gary to speak it. So it came some ways back. I'm just going to begin to read. You're welcome to read ahead of me. You're welcome to read with me. You're welcome to not read at all. The Holy Spirit is the teacher of this, and so however you want to have fellowship with him, it's fine with me. But this is part of what the Lord's wanting for the beginning of this year. He's always wanted it, but he's stressing now that the weariness and well-doing, the fighting or the struggling or the pressing towards the mark that we've all walked through, we are all walking in. He's wanting us to begin to change our mind so that he can change our heart. And this is the pattern. This is exactly what he wants each one of us to accomplish. Be very careful not to set any limits nor any boundaries upon my will, my desire, nor my ability to bless you and to use you. Set no limits and set no boundaries upon what I will do for you and what I will do through you, says the Lord. Currently, your mind, your thinking, is still too small to even begin to set limits upon me. What you think presently as being upper things and higher things, I consider them to be mistral. I consider them to be so small things, I consider them to be almost beneath contempt. We all qualify for that statement. We've been taught very well that every word that the Lord brings forth or instructions, as long as he didn't name an individual, he's talking to his entire family, every daughter, every son, no exception. Please, please don't set any boundaries on me. Please don't set any limits. It's amazing that we have that level of authority from God Almighty, that he's telling us that we can set limits on him. It's fathomless how that could even be, that we have that level of authority. Word everything that you say without limits. Word everything you say so that I can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you ask or think. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power, the dunamis, that worketh in us, that is at work within us. Everything that he is in us and working at, he's saying, please, don't set any limits on him with the words that come out of your mouth. Do not hold me, the Holy Spirit, back. Do not hold the Father's will back. please, please, ask big, son, ask largely. Seek me that I am a big God. I am able to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond all that you ask or think. I have already provided things for you that you know not of. At this moment, you do not even know to ask, so be sure that you set no limits upon me, says the Lord. Set no boundaries upon the boundless one. Set no limits upon the limitless one. Word everything in such a way that it keeps your mind thinking upward, thinking larger, thinking bigger. Always, underline, always, not sometimes, always be sure that your words do not limit me, says the Lord. I see that he sees us always as children. I see that he's saying, you are born again. You have my spirit. You have me. I'm your father. And you are a very small child. And I have plans for you. I have desires for you. It's just like any of you who have had a child and they have come into your home and they're just a child. And when you look at them, you have dreams. You have desires. You have longings for them. I see you this way. I see this. You know, some of it could be I see you as a football star, or I see you as an opera singer, or I have these desires for you, my child. I see almost the end from your beginning, and all of those desires are already in my heart as a father or as a mother. And you have no idea. And I've already got plans for you. How did he say it? I have already provided things for you that you know not even of. Is he not a father who answers before we call on him? I mean, he had only thoughts of good. He has only thoughts of prosperous, only thoughts of peace. Before the foundation of the world, incidentally, about you as an individual. So please don't limit me. If I were truly to have my way in your life, and you continue on this path to allow me to have my way in your life, each one of you qualify for that statement. Each one of you keeps no record of wrong. You can't be late. How many things has he told us? If you will start now, I will redeem all the time that your mind's saying that you lost. I will redeem every bit of it. I'm the redeemer of the time. You have no ability to redeem the time yourself, but I'm able to because I'm God and because that's my love. That's where I live. That's who I am. That's where I live. That's what I do best is redeem your time. So you're not late. You're not late. You continue on this path to allow me to have my way in your life. At the end of your life, it will be said of you as it was said of Jesus. If the books were written that contained all of the things that God did through him, the world itself could not contain them. John 21:25. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. That is hard for our soul to receive. He's saying that about every one of us. Every one of us. I had an experience this week when I was studying this and going over it, not really for your benefit, for my benefit, because of where we're walking and what's being transpired, etc., etc. It was more personal. And I was reading this, and a text came on my phone. And I will read it to you, the text, only because it thoroughly applies to this. The text said this: Tim, just listened to your short 17-minute exhortation from 8:30 a.m. Friday, 10/11/2002 conference. Pure gold. Thank you and glory to God. 14 years ago. I don't remember a year ago. But 14 years ago, the Holy Spirit somehow was able to say something that he wanted recorded. And yes, everyone was diligent to record it, to do everything. And this individual, if I gave you his name, you all highly respect him. I look to serve him. I look to be his friend. I look to him as a general. I look to him as a leader. I look to him that knows more than, as far as I'm concerned, than I'll ever know about it, about the Word. And yet somehow, the Holy Spirit had him listen to 2002, 14 years ago, a 17-minute message that I said something that touched his heart, that God put in a book for my reward. For my reward. And every one of you has the same identical thing happening on a day-to-day basis. Was it not the Lord through Alan that said, you don't even consider the small things? Didn't he say that last year? You don't even know or have fellowship with me on a level that you even realize that all of the small things that you're doing is going to touch somebody's life. I'm going to be able to heal them. I'm going to be able to encourage them. There's one of them. And if I gave you the mic, you most likely could give me one also. Because the majority, if not all of us, walk in a place with the Lord that says, whatsoever I do, in word or deed, I do unto you, Lord. I do unto you. I no longer live to myself. I went to the cross today, and whatever your will is, whatever your thoughts are, however you want me to act, whatever you want me to say, it's you, Lord. It's Jesus. It's you. And I'm going to walk there, and I'm going to live there. And I'm not interested in anything except bringing you pleasure, pleasing you 24/7. And somehow he has the ability to put it in a book, or at least to not forget it like we do. That's where we're all living. Let me have my way with you. Again I say, abandon yourself upon the arms of my Spirit. Let me transform your mind and transform your thinking, that your thinking becomes the same as the Spirit of my Son within you, who cries, Abba, Father. All things are possible unto you. Thy will be done. Let's say it. Abba, Father. All things are possible unto you.
All things are possible unto you.
Thy will be done. And Jesus said it in the garden, and he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. That is one part of the Godhead speaking to another part of the Godhead. Underneath the anointing of the third person in the Godhead, saying, I know exactly what you've planned for me, Father. I know exactly what you planned for me. I was there when we decided to do it somewhere in eternity past. I was there. I was there. But my will is asking you, are you able to change the entire plan that we set up? Abba, Father, all things are possible to you. All things, if it be thy will. I want to address very much the blueprint that I keep talking about. But you do have, each one of you, instructions from the Lord that is completely impossible for you to accomplish by yourself. And if you would begin to take that statement, Father, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto you. Thy will be done. Instead of allowing the enemy to tell you that it'll never happen, instead of him saying, just look at you, look at this, look at that, and you be able to say back to him and to your soul that is being renewed, being transformed, all things are possible unto you, Father. All things are possible unto you. Thy will be done. Please, thy will be done, Father. All things are possible unto you. That will be sure that you put no boundaries on him. That is the open door for you to know that you have put no limits on him. He's saying that to you. You know that? He's saying that to you. He's saying that to you and you. He's saying that to you, Ellen. He's saying that to you. Do not put any limits on me. Do not put any limits on me. Do not tie my hands. Do not put any limits on me. I could point to each one of you, call you by name. And he's saying to you as an individual, do not put any limits on me. I am the boundless one. Everything that I've ever said to you, everything that I've already said, I am the limitless one. I am the boundless one. I will do it if you don't put limits on me. It's available. It's available. There is nothing impossible for me to do. All things are possible for me. I'll read all the four verses. Abba, Father, all things are possible unto you. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again unto fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father, Abba, Father. And because ye are sons or daughters, God has sent forth the spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. After this manner, therefore, pray you, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That thinking will become your thinking. It will be as natural to you as breathing is now. It will become your thinking. It will be natural to you as breathing is now. The limits are going to come off of your thinking. The limits are going to come off of your imagination as you yield yourself to my spirit. As you yield yourself to my spirit. Every one of us. Every one of us. The world has tried to destroy our imaginations and to destroy who we really are in Him. And I say the world, and we know it's the enemy, but don't dream. Look at all the dreams that have not come to pass. You're wasting your time. And yet, He is saying that I need to take limits that you've imposed on yourself, and I'm going to remove those limits so that you begin to dream again. You begin to have fellowship with me at the level of dreaming, at the level of imaginations. Oh, I said, seek not the world, but seek me. The world will bring you into bondage. I set you free. The following is amazing. Everything that the world claims as its own belongs to me, says the Lord. Regardless of the enemy's claim, I give it to who I will. Those that serve me, do you qualify? Here is your MBO. Here is your job description. Here is who you really are. Right now, this is who you really are. Those that serve me, those that I can trust, those who have superimposed my spirit upon their will. We've been well taught the seven principles, at least the seven that has been identified thus far. You've been well taught. Taught and taught and taught. And you will be taught and taught and taught and taught until Jesus comes, because there is no other. You have been taught to do the word, to do the fellowship message. Isn't it amazing that God has and owns, and we'll read it, everything. Let me read it first. Those who have superimposed my spirit upon their will, those that I can trust it with, I give it to who I will. It is mine, says the Lord. The silver and the gold is mine, the world and all they that dwell therein, and everything in it is mine, says the Lord, and I give it to who I will. Haggai 2:8, the silver and gold is mine, says the Lord. Isn't it amazing? Just stop and think. God Almighty owns everything. Does not want anything, does not need anything except for you, except for you, except for you. He has everything. He created all this for fellowship, and then He gave us the liberty to have fellowship with him or not. He has everything but you. Why don't we begin to take another step towards giving him more of us? If that's all he wants, I mean, that's all he needs, you know, that's all his love is crying for is, will you just come and have fellowship with me? We're all somewhat concerned about redeeming the time. I will give you six things that will take care of redeeming your time. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, you do all of him, right? Here's the seven things. You know them by heart, but I don't have any other song to sing, and neither does the Holy Spirit. It's all inclusive. If you're meditating the word, you're redeeming the time. If you're confessing his word, you're redeeming the time. If you're praising and worshiping him, you're redeeming the time. If you're praying in tongues, you're redeeming him. If you're fasting, you're redeeming him. If you're waiting upon him, you're redeeming him. And if you're co-laboring, you're redeeming the time. I scoff at your enemies. I scoff at your enemies. Father, there's nothing impossible. Nothing impossible to you. Thy will be done. I scoff at your enemies. I scoff at those weak ones who stand about and say, perhaps we can attack here, and perhaps we can attack there. I scoff at them. I laugh in derision that they would even think that their strategy would not be known by my Spirit, who would reveal it to you ahead of time. Again, your enemy is not stationary. Your enemy is not inactive. Now be encouraged to know this. Those that seek my voice and seek my counsel on a regular basis, I would underline regular basis. The Lord recently said that we have come into a level of consistency, is that right? Consistency? Consistency in a regular basis is the same. It's the same thing. Okay. On a regular basis, it is to them that I will show things to come. They can even take measures and steps ahead of time as I show them troop movements of the enemy. I show them ahead of time. I give them counsel and what to say and what to do in order to thwart the plans of the enemy, even before his troops are in place. The plans are brought to nothing. They are thwarted even before he can assimilate the forces against him. When Lazarus passed away and was dead for 3 days, Jesus absolutely knew he was not supposed to go do anything by himself, on his own, his will. No. And all of his friends turned against him. His closest friends didn't agree with him. And I'm still staying there because I heard my Father's voice say, sit still. Don't go. And then when the Father said, okay, now you can go, they disagreed with him again. Because evidently they found out what was going on. He already knew. You know, the world finally caught up with them and they realized that the Jewish people, or the rabbis and Sadducees and Pharisees, was waiting on him. And the Father said, okay, you can go. You can go. Who are those defeated ones whose thinking is so black and darkened that they think not that I see everything, who think not that I will reveal everything unto you. Who are those that would come against my servant? Are you a servant? Yes, you are. I'll answer it for you. Stay close to my spirit, and you will walk in the light of day. You will not stumble, and you will not be walking in darkness. I will reveal everything, everything that the enemy plans against you, and you will easily walk around it, says the Lord. Presently, son, all I need from you is a yielded vessel. I would put that on a mirror in your home. I would put it as the home screen on your mobile phone. I would put it wherever. And if you begin to have fellowship with me on any level, and I see that you're one degree off, you can rest assured now that's what you're going to hear. All he needs is a yielded vessel. He doesn't need anything else. He has everything else. He is everything else. He will do everything else. All he needs is a yielded vessel that goes to the cross, however you go. And right now, I'm yielded, Lord. Not only am I yielded, I'm willing to be yielded. Was it not one of our fathers who was complaining about, of course we never do that, I believe that he was discussing with the Lord in regards to his prosperity or in regards to his ministry. And he literally was complaining. And the Holy Spirit, really it was the Lord Jesus in a vision, said, I said, you need to be willing and obedient, not just obedient. You need to be willing. And Brother Hagin said out loud, okay, I'm now willing. I'm now willing, and you already know I'm obedient. And he changed his heart that quick. That quick. It didn't take months. It didn't take years. I am now willing to do what you asked me to do. And the Father, or the Lord Jesus, knew that he was willing and said, okay, now let's talk about this. And that's when his ministry busted forth, if I remember correctly. That's when things just began to move. He had already spent X number of years being a pastor. And after that number of years, when he was talking to the Lord said, I never called you to be a pastor. What are you going to do about this prophetic anointing that's on your life? I never called you to be a pastor. I think it was 15, 17 years, whatever. Of course, none of us has wasted that much time, have we? I'm now willing, and I will be obedient. Presently, son, all I need from you is a yielded vessel. All I need is for you to present yourself to my spirit and to my word, to my words, to my blueprint, to whatever. To all of your words. Here is my Holy, the Holy Spirit is saying, here is my responsibility. If you yield, if you become a yielded vessel. Here's what I'm going to do. All of the ledger goes to my side from this point forward. Here's what I'm going to do for you. No one else can do it for you, and you certainly can't do it yourself. This is everything I'm going to do for you. The transformation will be done by my spirit. The anointing shall be done by my spirit. The filling shall be done by my Spirit. He will fill you with my plan, my thinking, my anointing, my power. The angels shall be posted as watchmen and guard about you. I only need your vessel, son. Present yourself to me. Present yourself to me and let my Spirit fill the vessel. He will change and transform the vessel. Present yourself to me. Present yourself to me. Present yourself to me and let my Spirit do his work. I am instructing you this day, today, this morning, today, not yesterday, today, I'm instructing you this day to have boundless hope in me. Hope without limits. Vision. See afar off, son. Be as Abraham, who could not count the stars for their multitude. He could not count the grains of sand on the seashore for their multitude. Genesis 22:17. That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sands which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemy. Thy seed shall possess the gates of thy enemy. Have boundless hope, son. I'm instructing you to have boundless hope in me. I desire to so expand your mind and to expand even your capacity to ask beyond all bounds that you presently operate in. Have boundless hope in me, says the Lord. For there is no limits to my love. There are no limits to my power. There are no limits to my faith. There are no limits to my resources. There are no limits to what I can do. There are no limits to what I desire to do. Oh, exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you could ask or think, that is who I am to you. I am instructing you to have hope without boundaries. Boundless hope, says the Lord. Boundless is having no bounds, infinite or vast, unlimited. That's what he's saying to each one of us. Have no limits to my love. I think I'll let you read those as homework, the prophecies. I'll go to, I think, your page 8. We've all been taught not to take anything out of context. So I'm going to read the preparation of expectancy. And you are fast approaching the day when the comfort of the familiar will be no more. Everyone said, this is that day. This really is that day. It wasn't 5 years ago. It is really this day. You're fast approaching the day when the comfort of the familiar will be no more. I have begun preparing your hearts. and molding the image of my Son in each one of you as with the hands of a potter. Each one of you. Each one of us. No exception. We are on the potter's wheel. What you have known in the external realm and what is to come are not the same. I have been getting each one of you ready who has kept themselves on the potter's wheel through fellowship with me, not through works, not through accomplishments, but through fellowship. Now the time is here to set your sights on the departure from all that has been comfortable and all that has been familiar into the place of I only see with his eyes and hear by his ears and think what is his mind. For it is no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. That should be and is, I'm sure, very familiar with all of us. I only want to do what you're doing. I only want to go where you're going. I only want to act the way you're acting. I only want to hear what you're saying. I only want to see what you're saying. I only want the mind of Christ. I want no thoughts of my own. That's John 14 through 17. Over and over and over again. And John 5:30. That's the cry of all of our hearts. All of our hearts. Let's tighten the reins in this walk of the Spirit and step into more of me. I have been preparing. I have been fashioning. And I have been molding sons to serve me in a way that is not often seen. Many will want the walk with me that they see in you as they come. It will change everything that has been the known of familiar in you. It will be important to hear from the perspective of my mind and plan by my wisdom. There will be wisdom for each step of the way, and wisdom will often precede the things you encounter each day. Following my lead and my instruction and operating out of my mind will enable you to walk through all that will be encountered. Diversion tactics will come. They have come to each one of our lives. No exception. The diversions will come. But love and truth through my mind will always see you through. Begin to communicate with my mind on the scope of things to come. Count the cost of a life laid down for my will and the cost of serving the needs of others with my heart, and this will see you through. Then he gives us his heart. He gives us any strongholds that may still be in our soul. He begins to say, who is coming for us to serve? He's telling us who he is after in regards to revival. begin to see the hearts of those who are hurt and wounded and only trying to get through for a glimpse of the heart that is in me. Begin to see those who are dying from the wounds of abuse, whom I will raise up through each of you. Begin to see the lost sheep gone astray who are looking and searching for the only true way. Begin to see the changes you will see in lives once lost, suddenly changed, who must have more of me. Begin to see those who are hardened and watching and see the flicker of hope. They have been hidden. Begin to see the miracles as you have never seen, and the change that will bring to everything about you. Begin to see the finances being used to bring about more of an opportunity for many to see me. Begin to see the end of the familiar and a walk in the new. Begin to imagine what will be, for it is quickly approaching, and what has been will all be made new. Expect the change. Expect the change. Expect the change. These things that have been talked about will be seen, and the preparation of expectancy is the place of seeing that which I am bringing you towards. So expect the change. Expect everything to change. Your daily walk with me. Abba, Father, there is nothing that's impossible to you. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. See you at 10 o'clock.